audio, and more. And even get your own show right on Yukon Sound Alternative, WHUS.
Wow! Thanks, Dad! WHUS, here I come!
All right, and it's time for Radio Naturopath here on WHUS 91.7 FM here in Storrs. And we've got part two today of fitness nutrition. Ron is here with me.
Good morning, Dr. Storch.
Yeah, he's my co-host.
Doctor. I gave you a Dr. Storch this morning.
Yes, you did.
Yes, I did.
Fascinating.
Isn't that great?
I just don't know what to do with that.
Whatever you wish.
Not used to being called that.
I know. People call you Dr. Fran. They call you Fran. They call you, but they rarely call you Dr. Storch.
It is, in fact, true.
Yeah, what's with that?
I am a physician, and I have a doctorate in natural medicine, and mm-hmm. I still think of myself as that 15-year-old girl in Take Me Along.
Yeah, and I always think of you as Franny.
Okay.
You're always Franny for me, but that's, you know, that's a personal thing.
Well, that's what my staff calls me.
Do they really? They call you Franny?
Well, at least Charisse does.
Oh,
I don't
okay.
know. But, you know, it's fine. It's fine. It's a name.
It's
know.
A name.
It's
who
about,
you are.
It's about the work. It's not about the title.
Right. And it's about how you present yourself to different people. I mean, we, you know, Charisse and I refer to you that way because we have a more personal relationship with you. So, therefore, we refer to you that way.
Some people like doing the Dr. Storch thing. It makes them feel like they're looking at the doctor.
Well, I just pulled that one out this morning just for fun.
Yeah. Sometimes it's, I guess what you're saying, it's fun to play doctor sometimes.
I don't know if we can do that on this show, can we?
No.
Oh, okay.
We can't.
All right.
What we have to do is talk about eating healthy food.
Okay.
All
well,
right.
Let's do that.
So there's fitness nutrition. So last week we talked about mostly about hydration, how important hydration is. And hydration is very important because you want to get that fluid into your cells and body so that your muscles and your nerves work the way that you want them to. And nerves includes your brain. You want it, your brain to be in a place where it can help you and sustain you doing whatever fitness, whatever exercise you're about to do. You definitely need good hydration. You're going to need good electrolytes for that. But you also need to eat in a way that works for you. So eating, once again, this was a hard talk to give when I gave it at the Mansfield Community Center because what people need to eat for fitness is everyone's different.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way it is. People's metabolisms are different. People are doing different kinds of exercise. People are doing different amounts of exercise. So what you eat for your fitness is going to change. And so there are some basic things that hold for many people that you want to eat healthy food most of the time. If you eat a poor quality diet, you're not going to be as healthy or as fit. And how does that work? So if you're eating... When you exercise, when you work out, one of the things that you're doing is you're burning fat, you're burning calories, you're burning sugar, and you're hopefully building muscle mass. You are also burning muscle mass. You can't avoid consuming some muscle in the activity of exercise. So you will do a net building of muscle if you're mostly doing strength training and if you're lifting heavy and if you're getting proper rest and not doing it for too long. You'll have a net gain in muscle mass. But if you're doing a lot of cardio, when cardio exercise is catabolic, and what catabolic means is it breaks down tissue. So you are going to get some tissue breakdown when you do cardiovascular exercise. So you have to eat to rebuild that. Now, when you do that can vary from person to person. So Ron and I are really good examples because we're basically at two ends of the spectrum in terms of how people in fitness can eat. And Ron gets into a thing about, you should eat this way. And there's no you should eat this way. There's a you should eat this way and I should eat that way and she should eat the other way. That's basically how it works. What works for Ron, quite honestly, doesn't work for most people because as we said, there are three basic metabolic types and these metabolic types are not written in stone. They are a guideline. But the guideline is basically... some people are protein types where they sustain well on mostly protein and non-starchy vegetables. Some people are carb types where they sustain well on a high amount of carbs and also eat protein and vegetables, but they can eat high amount of carbohydrate and sustain on that and not be overweight and be very healthy on that. And then some people are in the middle. And If you look statistically, most people are in the middle. Most people don't do well with a diet of mostly protein and vegetables. If that were true, most people would do it, and they don't. And what we see is when people go on diets like the Atkins diet, or they go on, you know, phase one of the South Beach diet, or they go on Ideal Protein, or any of those diets that are very low carbohydrate, where you're only eating non-starchy vegetables and clean animal protein, most people don't sustain it. I think the ones that are going to sustain it are, one, going to be very motivated, and two, are going to be motivated because they feel wonderful on it. And most people don't feel wonderful on it. Some people do, and if you're that person, I commend you, because you're a metabolic type where you do fantastically on protein and vegetables. And I have heard numerous people say to me, when I eat only protein and vegetables, I feel great. That's unusual, though. What I mostly see... So if people were mostly carb types in the United States, you would see mostly slender people. And you don't. You see mostly overweight people. And what do people eat too much of? They eat too much of starches and sugars. Mm-hmm. That is what people overeat. And whether you're one of those guys who says, but I don't eat sweets. No, you probably don't. But you probably eat pizza and grinders.
Right, and you probably eat more sweets than you realize, because the sugar is disguised in almost every food we have on our planet.
Well, if you're
or
eating
on our shelves, let's
yes,
put it that
if
way.
You're well, if you're eating processed foods, that's mm-hmm. true, and most people eat a lot of processed food. So if you're eating processed food, even if you're one of those people, like I said, who you're not a sweet person, you're probably eating sandwiches. You may be eating cereal. You may be getting a breakfast sandwich. You may be getting bagels, and you're probably eating pizza, because most people do. That's what I hear. A lot of people's go-to easy to fix or easy to grab family dinner is pizza.
And it's a comfort food, too.
Yeah, it certainly is. Well, yeah. And people love pizza because pizza's
yeah.
delicious.
Well,
I mean,
it's hard
it.
Not to. I mean, yeah. it's bread and cheese and sauce.
Right.
It's really hard not to like it.
No, it's really, really good. And it's got that incredibly seductive combination of a Swedish starch. Mm-hmm. Sweetish, S-W-E-T-I-S-H. Yes. A starch that's kind of on the sweet side,
okay.
Covered in cheese. So you've got fat and salt and starch all together, and that combination is very seductive to your brain. Your brain really, really likes it. It kicks out this compound called neuropeptide Y that makes it so that you can't even feel that you're full. And so what do you want
Ooh,
after?
Right. Danger.
Well, yeah. What would you like to have after one piece of pizza?
Another piece.
What would you like to have after your second piece of pizza?
Keep going.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
How about the entire pie?
And people do that.
And
people can
do that. Yeah. I used to do that.
I have people who have binge eating disorder, and mm-hmm. they binge on pizza because it's easy to do. You don't even feel that your stomach is full, even though it's outrageously full. I mean, one slice of pizza, one decent-sized slice of pizza with just cheese on it,
mm-hmm.
you're looking at 300 calories.
Really?
Oh, sure. And then, so that's before you put anything else on it. That's before you put veggies or meat or, you know, your sausage, your pepperoni, or anything like that. You're getting into for at least 300 calories, probably more. And then you move over to your second slice, your third slice. There's three slices of pizza, you're in for a grand. And that's a big meal. And when you're done with that, because of that neuropeptide Y factor, you can't feel that you're full. So anyway, that's a digression. And if you eat takeout like that, or eat large quantities of food like that, that's going to affect your fitness. So the things that are going to help you to be fit are similar for most people. It's the proportions that are going to change, and it's when you eat them that's going to change. So if you're someone like Ron is an interesting case. And some of you out there are going to say, yeah, I'm like Ron. You're slender. And if you're going to do a long workout, you can comfortably eat a good sized meal and then go for a long workout. You can go, you know, Ron can sit down and eat eggs and toast and have coffee and have a perfectly satisfied stomach and then go out and do a good hard workout and do a bike ride. And his stomach wouldn't be upset. And if I did that, that food would literally sit in my stomach. It wouldn't go anywhere. And I would be hungry and my stomach would be full. And I have had that experience before. So I can't possibly do that. In fact, if I'm doing a short workout in the morning, Because so one of the things about Ron is Ron has a very high metabolism. So Ron doesn't store glycogen well. His metabolism is very high. So as soon as he starts working out, he's going to pull from his glycogen stores and he's going to deplete them. So he has to put something in the tank before he gets in so he can front load, so he has his extra glucose and his liver can put in some extra glycogen from food that he ate right now, because glycogen stores are going to be depleted from overnight. My metabolism is much slower, so if I'm eating food the night before, I'm going to have decent glycogen stores and my body conserves better.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can get out first thing in the morning and work out. Now, I wouldn't work out for long, but, you know, I work out first thing in the morning. I don't eat. And that works well for me. So here's an interesting fact. If you have lipid problems, so if you have high cholesterol, especially if you have high triglycerides, one way to fry your triglycerides is to work out fasting first thing in the morning. And I would only recommend that if you can do it. If you can't do it, don't do it. If you know that if you don't eat anything and you go to work out, you're going to be dizzy, you're going to feel sick, and you're not going to be able to perform, you shouldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're me, I can probably do it. Now, what has to happen for me is if I'm about to go for a workout, I have to have a little something. But first thing in the morning, I often don't feel like eating. So I might show up to a ride not having eaten yet, and I carry food with me, and I wait until I'm a little bit hungry, and then I start to eat, and then I have stuff in the water bottle, and that will go. And so for me, I have to eat things with complex carbohydrates. So I might have a bar that has oats in it, or you can make stuff that has oats in it, oats and maybe a little bit of nut butter and some fruit in it. I have some no-bake energy bites that I'm waiting to make. I haven't gotten a chance to make them yet. But
I'm waiting for
so
you
good.
To make those, too.
I know. Well, I'll get around to it. Yeah, after the weekend when I go, after
okay.
I'm back from my conference.
I know. I'm just
yeah.
ribbing you.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I have this really cool thing here in front of me.
Uh-huh.
So if you take your large slice of, let's say, like a house special pizza that has maybe 480 calories on it,
right.
roughly. Okay.
Uh-huh.
How long would it take to burn that off? Are you ready?
What did you say, 480 calories?
480 calories.
Well, it depends what you're doing.
Well, hang on. I have a little thing here. This is reality. This is a reality check.
Yeah.
Okay? Very cool. Walking at 3 miles per hour,
mm-hmm.
which is not super fast, you know.
It's going to be
it
a,
would take
an hour
you
and a half.
129 minutes. Yes.
This would be an hour and a half to 2 hours, yeah.
Running.
129 minutes is over 2 hours.
Well, 60 minutes, yeah, 60 is
129
right.
minutes. It's an hour
right.
and nine, it's 2 hours and 9 minutes, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Running at 6 miles per hour,
mm-hmm.
46 minutes.
Right.
Bicycling at 10 miles per hour, 67 minutes. That's how long it takes you to burn off that slice of pizza.
If I bike at 10 miles an hour, I do not, what did you just say, 480 calories?
480 calories.
I don't burn 480 calories.
I think this is off because I teach a spin class that's really, really aggressive, and we go solid for an hour, you know, warm up, cool down on both sides of that. But,
yeah.
you know, there's 50 minutes of it that are really solid and aggressive, and I can probably hit, you know, 450 to 480 calories.
Yeah,
so,
and
but I gotta work real hard to do that.
Sure,
so.
And if I bike at 12 to 13 miles an hour for an hour, I have
mm-hmm.
a heart rate monitor on and an app.
Mm-hmm.
The app tells me I'm not even burning 400 calories. So that is way off.
Yeah.
So it really
it
depends on it depends on so many things. I mean, you and I doing the same workout, you'll burn more calories than me because
mm-hmm.
you're bigger, you have more muscle mass. And, you know, if you look and if you do my numbers, you know, versus your numbers, my size and my weight, I don't burn as many. I do the exact same workout and burn the exact, well, I do the exact same workout as you, put out the exact same wattage, and you would burn more calories than me. And that happens, you know, that when you do the same watts, different people burn different levels of calories based on how conservative their bodies are. My body certainly is conservative. And I know I know how many calories I burn in an hour on a bicycle. It depends on how hard I've worked in that hour. So, you know, if I've got the higher you get your heart rate up, the more watts I'm going to push, the more calories I'm going to burn. So 12 to 13 miles an hour also depends on, you know, the terrain that I've biked.
Yeah.
But if I do a flattish loop, I'm not going to burn what it said for 10 miles an hour. That 10 miles an hour is probably for 170 pounds.
It's actually for 140-pound person, according to this.
140-pound man or woman?
Person.
So yeah.
That's it. So there you go. There's another problem.
It's a variable. Yeah. Because, you know, men just, women just conserve calories. Yes,
right.
Of course you do. Well, you have less body fat. You have more muscle mass. You have more testosterone. And, you know, testosterone is anabolic, but it is anabolic. It's not anabolic to fat. It's anabolic to muscle mass. Mm-hmm. So your testosterone makes you make more muscle mass, but I believe it also will push your hormone sensitive lipase so that you burn more calories. That's why a guy goes on the same diet as a woman and will burn more calories than will lose more weight faster on the exact same diet because you just got more muscle mass. So that's another thing that women and men may eat differently. There's going to be gender differences as to how women and men eat when they're getting a workout. So let's look at shorter workouts versus longer workouts. So if you're doing a shorter workout, so if you're going out for a run, and a lot of people will go for a walk or a run in the morning, again, you have to assess whether you're one of those people who, if you don't eat anything before any kind of workout, you get dizzy, you don't feel well, you can't perform. If that is you, you have to eat something, obviously. And what you eat, again, is going to depend on you. Some people, like Ron, for example, can eat animal protein before a workout and feel great and use that as a source of energy and be helpful. So if that's you, then in general, I don't know if you can speak to this, but I mean, if you ate a very heavy meal, that would not be comfortable to you if you went out for a ride, would it? Or would it be?
It would be less comfortable, but I could certainly do it.
So if you had Thanksgiving dinner, could you go out and then do a bike ride?
That would not be a wonderful idea.
Okay. So what would be the optimal sized meal for you to eat before you went out for a 30-mile bike ride?
A couple eggs, a couple pieces of toast.
And that's it?
That's pretty good.
Could you eat more?
Could I eat more?
Or would you feel uncomfortable eating more?
No, I could eat more, but that's probably comfortable and would be plenty. That would hold me for that 30 miles.
And if I ate two eggs and two pieces of toast, for me, that's a huge amount of food. I that would be too much food in my stomach. It would be uncomfortable and it would just sit there. I'd be queasy for the first hour and I wouldn't digest it. It's really incredible because that amount of protein, I mean, I need time and rest to devour that for my stomach to even work on that protein, even move that protein out of my stomach. I had a horrible experience once where we stopped it. This is before we were eating as healthfully as we are now, before we took you off gluten. We stopped at a McDonald's for breakfast and we went on a long bike ride and I had a breakfast sandwich and, you know, I probably had an egg McMuffin or a biscuit with sausage or something. Before this, and it was supposed to be a very long bike ride.
Mm-hmm.
My stomach was full for the first hour or two, and it wouldn't move, and I was hungry because it was just sitting there and it wasn't doing me any good. So how it works for me is I basically have to do vegetable protein. If I do any protein at all before a ride or a workout, it has to be vegetable protein, and it's even better if it's just carbohydrate because carbohydrate will sit easy on my stomach, it'll get in easy, and it'll power my workout. As I said, for me, and perhaps for you listening, if you don't metabolize particularly quickly and you don't hit that wall, if you're going out for a short workout for, say, an hour or less, and it's not super intense, or, you know, could be with some intensity, you may not need to eat anything at all. And if you have a triglyceride issue, you'll burn off triglycerides if you exercise in a fasted state first thing in the morning. There are some good studies on exercising in a fasted state that you do burn energy, you burn calories, you increase your metabolism, you're more likely to dip into your fat stores. So if you can do it, it can be a beneficial thing to do. Like I said, if you're one of those people that within an hour you're going to, in bicycling, bonk. If you're a runner, you're going to hit the wall. If that's going to happen inside of an hour, you shouldn't do it. right? So then you have to figure out what you can eat. And so if you're going to go out for a short workout, you probably don't need to eat a lot. Like for you, Ron, before you go to spin class, you don't eat that egg and toast breakfast.
Usually, but I'll have a bowl of oatmeal.
You might have oatmeal, or you have one of those
bars.
That's
been lately. I've been
doing
that.
Yeah. Right.
So I'll have a bar, or oftentimes I'll just have a banana.
Right.
Because bananas are just, you know, all kinds of wonderful.
Yeah.
You've got all sorts of good things going
right.
on.
Right. So they have.
I like bananas.
Right. So they have. So you're going to get some good carbohydrate. And the nice thing about bananas is that they have resistant starch in them. So the resistant starch is really good because it gets into your system and it sits there and gives you long-standing energy. A lot of times it's a good idea if you're going to eat something before a workout or even during a workout, if it has some resistant starch or long-acting starch and some short-acting sugar as well. So again, this is only for you if you are going to do a workout that's longer than an hour, that's of a reasonable intensity, and if you are a person who you know you're going to your workout is going to suffer if you don't ingest something. So it's a good idea to do. So you can get sport products, and you can also make stuff, and you can also buy stuff. There's different things that you can get. So let's talk about some of the sport products that are made. So there's gels. So gels come in little packets. They're usually 100 calorie packets. Not everybody wants to eat 100 calories all at once, but the packets come in 100 calories, and they're easy to carry with you. You rip off the top of. They make it so it's easy to rip off the top of you while you're moving, if you're running or if you're at the side of the pool, or if you're on a bicycle, you carry it in your bag. You can, if you can't let go of the handlebars with two hands, you can rip the top off with your teeth. And then you eat the gel that's inside, and it can give you a boost. And those gels can be very nice. Those gels usually have short-acting and long-acting starch in it. They'll have some kind of maltodextrin, and then they'll often have glucose in them. Depending on the gel, they'll have different ingredients. They'll have different kinds of flavorings. Some flavorings will be more natural. Some will have actual fruit in them. Some will have just natural flavorings in them. Most of them are gluten-free, but you have to check. And different brands make different combinations of gels in different levels, and some are organic and some are not. And which one will work for you is a matter of trial and error. And people like the taste of ones, certain ones better than others. You'll say some people swear by a particular brand and think it's fantastic, and others can't go near it because it bothers their stomach. And so you have to do trial and error. So, like I said, these packets, they come in many flavors because they want to market it to you and they want you to like what's going down. Different flavors will hit your stomach differently. And most of them will have electrolytes, sometimes B vitamins, and they will all have some kind of carbohydrate, long-acting and short-acting. So here's the thing. Some people really like to meter out their calories. I don't always want 100 calories all at once, especially if I'm on a short workout. But I might like to have a fraction of that. So opening a single gel that has 100 calories in it might be too much for me for a shorter workout. So they thought of that. And how they thought of that was to come up with the chewy things, the shot blocks.
Right.
That they have. The companies have different there's different brands and there's different shapes and there's slightly different formulations. And again, it's a matter of trial and error, which one is going to work for you. But the gels often have something like 25 to 33 calories per gel. And so you can control your calories more. So if you only want, you know, if you only want half of that at a time, you can meter out your carbohydrate consumption over time. And they come in different formats. One brand comes I wouldn't call it a plastic tube, but it's a long plastic wrap so that you can open the top and you can easily, again, they're aiming it at the person who wants to use one hand to get the gel out. It comes in this almost tubular-shaped package so that you open the top and you can actually use your mouth to pull the gel out. And that's a very convenient shape. I don't know that any of the other companies do that. They're all in little pouches. And so you have to open the pouch and get the gel out, which is a little bit harder to do. So one thing to do is if you know you're going to have a gel during your ride, or you just open the pouch beforehand, and you still, if you're on a bicycle and you're not letting go of the handlebars with both hands, which I have a hard time doing, you're going to be getting at the gel with your mouth if you're eating the gel in motion. Of course, not everybody can eat a gel in motion, and it is okay to stop. So you can, if you're on a bicycle, you can stop your bicycle and have a nutrition break. That is okay to do. I mean, unless you're in a race. Most of you are not in a race, and this time of year, you're probably not in a race. But, you know, if you want to develop the skill of being able to eat while you're in motion, that's a kind of a good skill to have. That way you don't have to stop. If you're feeling like you really need some nutrition right now, but the pack is not about to stop, if you have the skill of being able to reach in your pocket and pull something out and eat it, that's a great thing. Now, there's other ways to manage that. If you have either dried fruit or not dried fruit, some fruits you can put in your pocket and just pull them out, and that's nice. So things like cherries, although unfortunately cherries, they don't have a very long season. When they're in season, they're wonderful. So you can't even get fresh cherries right now.
Cherries and grapes are good.
Yeah, dry cherry. And then grapes. We're still in grape season. My concern about cherries and grapes, well, cherries we can't even get right now.
Right.
We can't get fresh cherries right now. They're not. I don't even see them in the stores. I mean, the only cherries you're going to be, the only cherries you're going to be seeing are frozen ones, which are going to be very messy in your pocket, and dried ones. And the issue with dried ones is that it's very easy to eat too many.
Mm-hmm.
They're good for you, but it's very easy to overeat them, and so everybody gets concerned about dried fruit. Too many calories, too much sugar.
Like raisins and cranberries and apricots.
It only has too much sugar because they're easy to overeat. Where it's harder to overeat a fresh fruit because there's so much water in it.
Right.
And grapes, you can still get organic grapes. And the issue with grapes is grapes can have a lot of pesticides on them. So if you don't get them organic, they can be full of pesticides. So, but they are easy to carry, and you don't have to worry about, you know, you can just put them in your pocket and just pull them out one at a time and eat as many as you need to. And they're refreshing because they have water in them. So they're very lovely that way. But so carrying cherries and grapes, that's a thing that we like to do.
And they don't melt in your pocket.
No, it's
they're
true.
They're kind of nice.
They don't melt.
Yeah,
that's right.
They're like M&M's.
Gels don't, and M&M's will melt.
Yes, they will.
Yes, I don't know why they say melt in your mouth, not in your hand.
Well,
they do melt.
It's a thing.
Understand.
So back to your chews.
Yes.
The chews are kind of interesting. It depends on the manufacturer of the chew as to which one has what. But
right.
There is a very, very popular one that is out there that they say four pieces, four chews contain about 90 calories.
Yeah.
So that helps you, you know, eat less calories per chew, and you can, you know, eat them over an extended period of time.
Right. Yeah, so. And one of the things they do is they market those little chews, you know, the different chew brands, they market them to women because women don't want to eat 100 calories all at once.
Right, and then the women come home from their bike ride and leave half-opened packages of their chews on the counter.
Right, because we didn't eat all
of them. But I don't know anyone
them.
Like that.
Yeah,
yeah.
So,
yeah.
so, right, indeed. So,
right.
The nice thing is that I didn't eat them all at once. So,
right.
And I was able to meter out how many of them I needed to eat, and then I have leftovers, and that's a good thing. I think that's good. I'm going to be more careful about how much I eat because, it is far, far easier for, I have, so you are still at a place at your young age of 61 where you're a guy and you have decent muscle mass and you still have a high metabolism. I am a woman and I am 52 and I am in menopause. And so that has slowed my metabolism a lot. So I'm in a place where even though I'm working out at a high level, it's still easy for me to gain weight. Of course, I'm not going to gain as much weight as someone who is not exercising the way that I am. But, you know, I still have to watch it. When I first met you, you said to me, you're a machine. You're burning so many calories, you can eat whatever you want. So I tried that. And in the first, 4 or 4 to 6 months of our relationship, I gained 8 pounds.
I'm a bad influence.
Well, you Well, you gave me information that didn't work for me, that's all. And you didn't know because you thought that what will work for you will work for me.
Right.
And it didn't. Because right. You looked at me at that time and I was quite slender. So you figured, oh, she's slender, she can eat like me. But I was slender because I really worked on it. And in order for me to stay slender, I really have to not eat a lot. It's just, and a lot of women are in that situation. However, if I just eat protein and vegetables, I'll lose weight, but I'll be miserable. Can't do it. I'm one of those people that did the protein and vegetable diet. I can't think. I can't see straight. I can't get out of my own way. I can't work out. I can't get up the hills. It's very hard for me. So, and on the other hand, if I eat too much carbohydrate, I gain weight. So I'm one of the vast majority of people in this country who are somewhere in the middle. I can eat a bit of carbohydrate, not too much. If I control my carbohydrates, then I can keep my weight in check and keep myself happy and healthy. And I also can't eat too much food altogether. And I've trained myself to get to a point where I don't stuff myself. Now, this is an issue for some people. One of the ways to eat for fitness is just to eat for your health, and whatever your health looks like, that's a way that you're going to be eating. So if finding out the sweet spot, the amount of starch and sugar that you can eat and be happy and healthy, and eating a good quality healthy diet most of the time, that's how you're going to eat for your fitness. If you regularly stuff yourself, most athletes don't necessarily do that. I mean, unless they're very, very high level athletes and they're working out all the time. But if you're an athlete who also has a sit down job, or you're an athlete who's not, you know, primarily an athlete, that you're primarily, a physician or an accountant or an IT worker or a library science person or a college professor, you are probably not working out most of the time. You are doing your job most of the time. Mm-hmm. So you have to eat with that in mind. You can't be eating like you're a major athlete even though it's an admirable accomplishment if you're that person who gets out and goes for an hour walk every day, or an hour and walk alternating with a 45-minute run alternate days. That's fantastic. That's really good. But if you then go to a sit-down job, you really have to watch how much you're eating. So the nice thing about those gels that we said, whether you're doing the gels with that are in a 100-calorie pack, or if you're doing the little chews that are in various kinds of packages, is they're easy to eat, and they're intended for you to make it easy for you to digest. And they're usually easily digestible, and they're easy on your stomach. They can contain different things, and they can contain caffeine. There's also, we talked about how there's sport beans, there's jelly beans that you can get. And those are in a nice little tiny package too. And all of these products come with or without caffeine and varying levels of caffeine. So caffeine, as we talked about, is definitely a performance-enhancing substance. People differ as to how much caffeine they can metabolize and how fast they metabolize caffeine. And so depending on you, how much caffeine you consume is going to vary. Some people can't do any at all. It just makes them sick. It gives them headaches. It makes them tired in the long run, even if it gives them a boost in the short run. Some people can do a little bit of caffeine. I think that's me. I can do a little bit of caffeine if I do it over time. And and then some people can do a lot of caffeine. It really enhances their performance. So it's really going to depend on the person as to how much caffeine that they can handle. And again, caffeine, you can put caffeine in your water bottle, and caffeine will come in some of your sport things, your chews and your gels and things like that. So, by the way, it is okay to eat real food when you're working out. So some people have that issue of they can't really eat before their workout. Some people, like me, you know, sometimes if I know I'm going to be doing a long workout, I may have to eat something. Well, so what tends to work for me is to have something it might have a little bit of long-acting starch. So it might have some oats, like a big bowl of oatmeal isn't going to work for me, but a little bit of oats might. So you can, there's this neat recipe I have here for these no-bake energy bites that I got from gimmesomeoven.com. And they have oatmeal, coconut, peanut butter, ground flaxseed, some chocolate chips, your option of honey or agave nectar. I'd probably choose honey, chia seeds, and vanilla extract. So that's very nice. So this is a nice thing to put together, and you can add or subtract some of these ingredients. One thing about this energy bite is it's very high in fiber. I think this is a great dessert because of it has the things with it, like everything in it just about has fiber in it, and it's a lot of fiber. One of the issues with eating high fiber when you are about to work out is that the fiber can sit in your stomach, and fiber is stimulating to your digestive system. You may not want that much stimulation to your digestive system. So something that's really high fiber, like these energy bites have chia seeds, flax seeds, and coconut and oats. It's a lot of fiber. That might or might not be ideal for eating on your bike. I might change these up. So I have these that don't have, so these are grain-free. You can just use the nut butter. Now, you have to be careful because nuts and nut butter have a lot of fiber in them, and that's a great thing. I'm not saying fiber is bad. I'm saying that if you're about to go work out, it may be too stimulating for a digestive system, so you have to do a easy-to-digest fiber. That's why bananas are so good, because it has that resistant starch in it. Something like chia seeds or flax seeds, which are mostly fiber, they might be too stimulating to your digestive system. Your digestive system might not be able to get into the carbohydrates or other nutrients that are inside them in an amount of time to do you any good. So you might do better once you start crushing your nuts. So the nuts are crushed or it's in a nut butter. It makes it a little bit easier to absorb. So when you have a nut butter, you can mix those with a little bit of honey. And maybe a little bit of, I would do coconut oil. So nut butter, coconut oil, and some honey. That's a good way to go, because the coconut oil is going to give you medium chain triglycerides, which are a good source of fat. The nut butter is going to be an easier to absorb form, and it's going to give you longer lasting energy. And then the honey is a really nice substance, especially if you get an unprocessed local honey, and especially if the honey is really dark. The darker the honey, the sweeter the juice. No, the darker the honey, the more bioflavonoids it has. So it has more antioxidants in it. It has more nutrients in it. So we love our local honey producers that have very dark honey. And honey has been studied to be at least as effective in sustaining energy during workouts as your commercial gels. This is the other thing that I forgot to mention, that you know how you like to have those little chews, because you can have you don't have to have commit yourself to a 100 calorie packet, because if you don't eat that the whole 100 calories in the packet, it's going to be messy and it's going to spill in your jersey or your pocket, whatever, wherever you're carrying it. So you've kind of committed to eating the whole thing. You could get flasks. There are flasks that you can fill with whatever you want. You can fill them with honey. Some people have a winning combination of honey, peanut butter, and mushed banana, and they put that in a little flask, and they eat off that as they're going. And the neat thing about a flask is you can have as little or as much as you want. And if you like those energy gels, you can put the energy gels in a flask, and you can take little sips off it, so you don't have to commit to 100 calories all at once. So it's up to you if you like to do that. If I'm going to go and, have little sips off of a gel, I'm probably going to go and have a chew. But I must say that if I'm well into a ride and I need some energy and I do one of those gels, they work very nicely. And I have a particular brand that I favor. Like I said, there's many brands out there. You should pick one, pick and choose and try different ones that work for you. But they can be really effective. For me, I like a little caffeine in mine. If I'd already had some caffeine in one of those gels, I'd probably elect to have one without caffeine for my next one. The ones with the excessive amount of caffeine, they're no good for me because there's too much caffeine, and that's going to vary among people. So, like I said, you can eat real food. One neat thing I might have before a workout that's not going to upset my stomach too much in terms of fiber is an easy-to-absorb protein with an easy-to-absorb carbohydrate. And this sounds kind of bland and boring, but applesauce with whey protein in it.
Bland and boring.
It's
bland
and boring, mm-hmm. but easy to absorb and easy on my stomach because whey protein is very easy to absorb. It's not going to sit in my stomach very long. The protein is going to get in. I'm going to get that protein and carbohydrate together, and it's going to sustain me. And the applesauce is very easy to digest because when you cook down the fiber, it goes through you a lot easier. So it's a nice easy thing to eat before your workout. Some of you are listening to this and going, yeah, but I love my oatmeal. Great, eat your oatmeal. Oatmeal's a good idea if the oatmeal doesn't upset your stomach. Some of you are going to have your stomachs upset by oatmeal just because it's going to move through you slower because it does have long-chain carbohydrate and it has a lot of fiber in it. But if you don't get an upset stomach from it and it sustains you, by all means, eat the oatmeal. That's a really great thing. And like I said, you can make homemade energy bites with if you do well with a lot of fiber, you can do the nut butter and the oats together with honey. I mean, that's a really basic no-brainer. Your favorite nut butter, oats, and honey, and maybe some coconut oil as well. And either coconut oil or MCT oil. MCT oil is mostly MCT, medium-chain triglycerides. Those medium-chain triglycerides are a fat that is well-absorbed. It's absorbed into your stomach, and it can give you energy right away for your workout. It's a really nice thing to have. If you can tolerate having something in your stomach, a neat pre-workout thing to do might be to either have a drink of beet juice, or if you get beet concentrate, like we have a product that a little tiny scoop has the nitrates of 6 beets. It's incredible. Or maybe it's 3 beets in a scoop. It's 6 beets in 2 scoops. But 3 beets in a tiny little scoop, that's a lot of nitrates. And those nitrates are going to get into your system and they're going to make nitric oxide for you and they're going to improve your circulation. And they'll make it so that you're ready to go for your workout. It's really nice. And so you could have that and also have some applesauce with whey protein in it. And that you're ready to go. And if you want to, you can either put a little caffeine in your water bottle. I put a little caffeine in my water bottle. And my preferred caffeine is, mine's weird. And not everybody's going to want to do this, but it's the guayusa. So you can get guayusa at the health food store. You can get tea bags and you can also get it in glass bottles. I tend to get the glass bottles because it's already made and I don't have to think about it. It's got a little bit of sweetener added to it. So I throw a little bit in the water bottle, and I don't fill up the water bottle with that. That I might put 2 ounces of the guayusa in it, and I'm so caffeine sensitive that works for me. So my winning combination is guayusa, coconut water, and a little powdered sport drink, and that goes in the water bottle. So if I have a little caffeine in the water bottle, it will enhance my workout. You could also take a little bit of caffeine before your workout if caffeine works for you. And the amount of caffeine is going to depend on how fast you metabolize it. For Ron, that's going to be a nice cup of coffee. For me, it might be, but if I have a whole cup of tea or coffee before a workout, I'm pretty jittery. I don't like how that feels. So I'm going to have either half that or I'm going to keep some iced tea or guayusa in the fridge, and I'm going to sip off it and maybe have a quarter cup of it. And that works for me because I get a lot more bang for my buck from a little bit of caffeine because I don't metabolize it very fast. I'm a CYP1A2 slow metabolizer. Yeah. So.
All right.
Yeah, that's the...
And I'm not.
No, you're...
I'm that other guy.
You drink the coffee and go to sleep. Yeah. I can... If I've done a very hard workout that day, I might be able to drink the coffee and go to sleep, but it's unusual. I went to the cafe. I went and sat down at a cafe because it was chilly and I wanted a hot drink, but it was 5 o'clock. So I opted for the decaf, and that was a good thing. It was okay. Decaf coffee often isn't caffeine free. It's supposed to be 99% caffeine free,
but yeah, it does have a little bit of caffeine.
It depends. It really depends on the coffee that you get, and there are some. If you Swiss water process it the right way, it will be virtually caffeine free. Most decaf coffees that I have tried have caffeine in it, and I can tell you that because they give me a buzz.
I can tell you that because she's really funny when she's on caffeine.
Oh yeah, well
you're a good time.
Usually you see me on half caf.
Yeah, so. And you're still pretty funny.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I had a little bit today. I have a drink at home that has green coffee bean extract in it. So those BA drinks. that we like, that they have a lot of antioxidants in them. Anyway, so
it's ones
a drink
that you like. Yeah, I never drink those.
So it has green coffee bean extract in it, and green coffee bean extract is interesting because some people do well with it. Some people, it depends on the metabolism. So green coffee bean extract actually has chlorogenic acid in it, which is supposed to be fat burning. But I have these drinks that I like because I'm one of those people that have a hard time drinking fluids without a little bit of carbohydrate in it. So they're low calorie. They have natural sweetener in them. That's low calorie, and they have a lot of antioxidants in them. So they have a little bit of caffeine from the green coffee bean extract. So not a huge amount, but some. So, and you'll see some of these products, there's an entity that has a product that has a little bit of juice, natural sweeteners like stevia and erythritol in it, some antioxidants. And a whole bottle will be, 10 to 30 calories, and that's it. So it's a class of drinks that's, a soft drink done better because there's very little sugar in it. It's a little bit sweet, and it's easy to drink. And it may or may not be carbonated because that Bay brand, you can get in carbonated and not carbonated. And there's other brands, too. So there's Core brand, and there's and then you can get sodas now that are low-calorie sodas that have a little bit of fruit juice, and then they often have artificial sweeteners in it, so be aware of that. But a lot of these products have a little bit of caffeine in them, and the caffeine will come either from green coffee bean extract or it'll come from white tea. And even though there's not a lot of caffeine in those, there's some, and there's enough to wake me up anyway. So those, so the Bay drinks or some drink like that is something that if I'm at a water stop and I'm at a convenience store, I might grab that. Also, if you're at the convenience store, so that's another thing. If you're on a bike ride and you stop at the convenience store and it's, your average convenience store, what might you be able to find there that's going to sustain your workout? Well, if you do well with getting that Reese's peanut butter cup, by all means, you may or you may not. Some people do well with that. Some people don't. It is a little processed. There's definitely sugar in it. The nice thing about it is there's peanut butter, so it's going to give you sustained energy. It's going to slow down the absorption of sugar. So a Reese's peanut butter cup might sustain you. The other things, if you're in the convenience store, there's other things that you can find. You can find lots of bars. And there's many kinds of bars, so depending on the bar that you get, some bars are going to have sugar, some are going to have gluten, some are not. Some bars are going to be, discrete nuts and fruit together with a little bit of sweetener, maybe some chocolate, maybe some yogurt coating. Some of them are going to be primarily oats and have sugar in them. Some of them are going to have good quality sugar, and some of them are going to have not so good quality sugar. So it all depends on what you're picking up. And a bar could be a good choice. You can also get trail mix. You can also get nuts. You have to be careful of the nuts. The nuts could be deep fried in fat, and if they are, you're getting a poor quality fat. Problem with getting processed things is if they have chemicals in them, chemicals are hard to digest. And if you have something that's too processed in your belly, so never mind about, in general, it's not good to eat added and preserved. We're talking about during a workout. You want something that's easy to digest and that your body's going to recognize as food. If it doesn't recognize the thing as food, it's going to react to it worse than if you were not working out. While you're working out, your body's in fight or flight. It's digesting minimally, but it will grab nutrients as it needs them if it can. And if it looks at BHT and TBHQ and, sorbitol and other kinds of artificial chemicals and preservatives, your body's going to look at those and go, what do you want me to do with this? And you might get digestive upset. So you have to be careful of that, eating processed food while you're on your bike, simply because you're going to get indigestion. And there's nothing worse than getting, all of a sudden getting indigestion when you're in the middle of a long workout. So that's no good.
No.
Okay. So that's a neat thing to know. All right. Alcohol. I don't know if we talked about this last week. Alcohol is best limited to 3 drinks a week if you want to perform. If you don't care that much about performance, you can drink more. For health, the suggestion is for men can get away with drinking 1 drink a night. And lot of men, that's not that is not typically what people do. People get together for gatherings and they drink, you know, 1 to 3 drinks or more. And then some nights they don't drink. So when you say one drink a night, that's not what most people do. One drink a night allows you to have a little bit of alcohol, get the benefits of the alcohol, get the benefits of whatever got fermented in there. So if you're drinking beer, you are going to get some B vitamins and some detoxifying nutrients that help you with your health. If certainly with wine, you're going to get antioxidants. And you're going to get some basic help from the alcohol. The alcohol in small amounts does moderate your blood sugar. Large amounts of alcohol tax your liver because your liver looks at the alcohol and it puts your liver to work. And putting your liver to work a little bit is a good thing. Putting your liver to work too much with a substance that has part of its breakdown pathway, something that has a lot of free radicals in it, is a bad idea. So unfortunately, if you're a high-level athlete or your goal is that you want to perform more than 3 drinks a week, you start to lose benefit. 3 drinks a week gives your body time to recover, get the benefits of the alcohol, and get the alcohol out of your system without damaging your liver. When you drink more than that, then you're looking at dehydration, and you're looking at de-optimizing your liver function, and you need that liver to make that glycogen for you so you have that glycogen available for energy. If your liver is functioning suboptimally, you won't perform as well. And then there's the issue of recovery. Now, let's talk about resistance training because we haven't talked about that too much. While you're doing a resistance workout, you may or may not need to have anything to eat. It depends on how hard you're doing your resistance workout and what you're doing. If you're doing an hour and a half and you're doing lots of sets and you're doing heavy lifting, you might need something. And you might need some easily digestible protein during your workout. You may and you may not. It depends on the person. So a little bit of carbohydrate and protein before your workout is probably a good idea. Again, you have to figure out what settles well with your stomach. We talk about whey protein a lot. So whey protein is a powdered protein that's very easy to absorb. The only issue is that it is dairy and not everybody does well with dairy. So some people have an allergic reaction to whey protein. So it's not for everybody. But if you're not allergic to it, and in fact, if you are dairy intolerant, depending on the mechanism of your dairy intolerance, you may be okay with whey. So it's you might do well to try it. If it doesn't work for you, it's okay. There are other proteins. The thing about whey protein is whey, because it's coming from dairy, it has immune globulins in them, which help support your immune system. And when you're exercising, you tax your immune system because you're creating inflammation by taxing the systems that you're using for the exercise. So your whey protein helps you with your immune system. It has glutamine in it, which also protects your immune system. And it has these immune globulins, which support your immune system. Whey is very easy to absorb, and it has branched chain amino acids in it, which are good for building muscle. So doing whey protein before, maybe a little bit during if you want, not necessarily, but if you can tolerate it and you need it. If you're doing a long weight workout, you might need some mid-workout with a little bit of carbohydrate. And then certainly within a half an hour after your workout. And I'd say if you're doing a long workout, having some protein after the workout, within half an hour of the workout is a good idea because that's your body is crying for the protein and it's primed to absorb it. So it's a really good time to do that. And doing an easily absorbable protein is a great thing. Now, if you can have a piece of chicken within that half hour, go for it if that works for you. If you're not dairy intolerant and you want to do yogurt that or kefir. Those are great things to have. But if you want to do a protein powder, you certainly can do a protein powder. So the plant proteins, the issue with the plant proteins don't have the immune globulins in them, and they often don't have the glutamine. Glutamine can be added later. You can get glutamine powder and add that. You can also add branched chain amino acids to any protein that you have. So branched chain amino acids, you can get them by themselves. They taste disgusting.
well, that's appealing.
Yeah, but you can mask them. If you put them in a milky or sweet, if your protein powder is chocolate or vanilla flavored and it's sweetened, and you know, you can get whey protein that's sweetened with low calorie natural sweeteners.
Right.
So my whey protein doesn't have fructose in it. It has it'll have stevia in it, and it might have some Lo Hang Guo, those are really great sweeteners because they are very low calorie. They make the protein taste good, and both stevia and Lo Hang Guo have properties of regulating blood sugar, so they're very good choices. So you want to get a whey protein that is those natural things. If you just go to online or you go to any health food store, your whey protein could have artificial sweeteners in it. Could have acesulfame, potassium. It could have sucralose in it. Usually that's what you see, sucralose and acesulfame K, acesulfame, potassium. Those are the ones that you see. And those are not that great for you, you know, and they're not as well understood. Stevia and Lo Hang Guo are healthy for you. They're fine. So if you get a good quality stevia and then Lo Hang Guo, which is monk fruit, those are great sweeteners because they regulate blood sugar and they make your whey protein taste good. And they will also mask the taste of your branched chain amino acids if you're adding more in. So if you're using a plant protein, you can get plant proteins that are made of yellow pea. Yellow pea protein is great. I really like it. I take it myself. If I know, I like to keep my dairy in check, so I don't want to have too much dairy through the day, even though whey protein, I like whey protein and it does well for me. If I have too much dairy, I have a slight dairy allergy. So I don't want to have a lot of dairy through the day. So I will go for the yellow pea protein. Very easy to absorb. Hypoallergenic, because we're not overexposed to peas through the course of our lifetime. Or I wasn't anyway. I don't usually eat peas. So, no. I mean, I have the plant pea protein. And the other cool thing about pea protein is that it supports kidney health. And so it's a protein that you give to people who have high blood pressure and you're trying to protect them from kidney damage. And so it's good for your kidneys, and then your kidneys will work better and detoxify well and manage your amino acids better. You can get mixed plant proteins where the protein comes from different grains. It could come from quinoa and pea and a few other things, and they're all mixed together. You can get hemp protein. I suggested hemp protein when I was at the talk at Mansfield Community Center, and I had several people screw up their faces and go, no.
They really?
Did not like the taste of it. What can I say?
Oh.
You can get rice protein. My only issue with the rice protein is I think there is an arsenic issue with rice if you do too much of it. There might be. And, you know, if you're doing a little bit of rice protein now and again, it's probably not a big deal. But that can be an issue with rice protein. Rice protein is very palatable. Now, if you're allergic to a lot of stuff, one of my supplement companies has a protein that's made from beef. So it's a
really?
Powdered protein, and it's made from beef, and it comes in chocolate and vanilla, and it's beef protein, and it's super hypoallergenic, but it's, you know, it's powdered.
But it's animal.
Yeah.
So it's
but it's really hypoallergenic. So people tend not to react to it because, you know, it comes from an animal. It's really interesting.
How interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So for people who are really, really sensitive, that is an option. You can also get egg protein. And having that mixed into water or into applesauce or into dairy or into a dairy substitute, that having, and depending on how hard you've worked out and how long you've worked out, would tell you how much you would have. And having that right after your workout can be really helpful. Like I said, if you want to eat actual protein, like a piece of chicken or a piece of fish, or
you can always go there.
Or have some dairy,
or
actual
fish
dairy.
Or,
you
know,
you
something.
Can certainly have that. Some people, you've said this to me before, right after a run, it's a little hard to eat. So you might want to do the protein shake before.
The drink goes down a lot easier.
Yes.
After you've done a run.
After
or if
a
you've
run.
Done a really long bike ride or anything.
Really hard,
you know.
Bike ride. It's a little easier to eat after a bike ride and during a bike ride than it is from a run. Because run, you're really pounding on your body and there's more
the
inflammation.
Yeah, the run is more upsetting to your body. There's more stress on your body.
You create more inflammation. Right. And because you're creating more stress, you're increasing the stress hormones. So you're in... You're in fight or flight more, even more than when you're on the run than when you are on the bike ride. Anyway, there's more inflammation, which means there's going to be more inflammatory compounds in your digestive system, so it's going to be a little harder to eat, so that liquid protein is going to be helpful. So I hope this was helpful and it gave you some good ideas about what you might eat to support your workout. If you have more questions, you can write me at radionaturopath@gmail.com. We will be back next week with more Radio Naturopath.
And a quick apology here to Eddie from Willington. We will address your question next week.
Right. Yes. Okay. Yes, we will do all that. Right. Yeah, we sort of wanted to keep the topic going. So
kind of ran out of time.
We ran out of time. All right. All right. And so you're listening to 91.7 FM, WHUS Doors. I am Fran Storch, and you'll hear Radio Naturopath next week.